church, it's time to go all in, isn't it? It's time to go all in. Today is Pledge Sunday. Today is the day that we give our first fruits offering to launch this all-in campaign. And today is the day we make our three-year commitments, campaign commitments, financial commitments together. And ultimately, God's put in our heart to expand our campus here at Sango, actually build right across Highway 76 here on land that's been donated to us. God's calling us to expand at Tylertown as well. Tylertown now has outgrown their building. And God's put in our heart to birth this baby together, man, to launch a third campus together. And God's put the area of New Providence in our heart. And ultimately, we're all in for Christ. Isn't that right? It's for Jesus. We're all in for our city, for our neighbors. It just starts right here at home, doesn't it? Giving the hope of the gospel to our neighbors. We're all in for kids. Isn't that right? We want to reach the next generation for Jesus. And we want to go all in for the church. We've been using that word essential a lot during the pandemic. Here's something that's essential. Church. Come on, somebody. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is as essential, if not more essential, than anything, any entity, any organization in this culture. And so, and we do it, why? To give hope and make disciples. It's all about life change. Last Sunday, we baptized 11 folks outside. We had a couple who actually came, a couple of different guys who came during the party. I mean, while we're partying, hanging out, they're coming up saying, man, I have got to get baptized. I want to identify with Jesus. Come on, we got to give God a hand for that. Isn't that exciting? That's what it's all about. Our new favorite baptistry is the inflatable hot tub. Can I get a witness on that? That thing is awesome. We love that thing, by the way. And so, what a joy today. We had Joseph Crockett come at 9:30, young guy come and get baptized today. And so, that's what it's all about, church. Giving hope, making disciples, in the midst of a culture that's broken, that's struggling, that is pushing back against authority and Christianity and anything that speaks of God or faith. And so we want to step into that with the gospel, with love, with grace, but also with boldness and courage and say, no, Jesus is the answer. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? Jesus is the answer. And so today on Pledge Sunday, God's put in my heart to preach from Mark 12, it's the story of the widow and her two copper coins, the widow's mite. And it's a picture of sacrificial giving, isn't it? She gave, the scripture says, we'll see in just a moment, she gave all she had to live on. And so it also says there that she gave what amounted to a penny. She gave what amounted to a penny. Now, when you came in today, we were handing out pennies. Did you get your penny today? If you got your penny, hold it up for me. Show me your penny. And some of you digging in your pocket. Hold on, preacher. Got to get that thing out. Right. Our penny. That's important. That's visual illustration for us. And listen, here's the thing. Not just today. I pray that from this point forward to the day you go home to be with Jesus or He comes again, whichever's first, that every time you see a penny, you'll remember this story. You'll remember the account of this incredibly godly widow who gave all that she had for the gospel. By the way, isn't that the call of the gospel? It's not just to give nominally, not just to give a little bit, and it's so much more than money. I know we're raising money today and we're talking about building buildings, and that's important, but most important is your heart. Isn't that right? It's your life. It's all of yourself. And that's the picture we get in this passage, the penny, right? All she had to live on. A penny is such an insignificant thing in our mind. I mean, what can you buy with a penny? Well, like 50 years ago, a piece of gum. I mean, not like that, you know, but today, you can't buy anything with what amounts to one penny. Her offering in worldly eyes was so insignificant, wasn't it? Yet now, God saw her heart. God saw what the rest of the crowd didn't see. And now her life is a timeless example. How can I say timeless? Well, because it's encapsulated in the Word of God, in the Scripture forever. You know, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, Jesus said, will never pass away. Hers will be a testimony that will reverberate in heaven And all she gave was a penny, but it was all she had. What an example of going all in. Let's look at it together. Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 41. Verse 41, it says this. It says, "And he being Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the people. And they're putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums." By the way, the context of this passage is not to say that it's wrong to be rich. It's wrong when your riches have you. Come on, somebody. It's not wrong to have stuff. The problem comes in when your stuff has you. There's plenty of godly men and women in the Bible who were affluent people, but they used their affluence to bless God's kingdom. They didn't give, here it is, nominally. They didn't tip God. They gave generously. And so don't misunderstand this context. But here we have rich people who are putting on a show. It's Passover week, right? It's the week in which Jesus would go to the cross, but they're there for religious ceremonialism. It's the time when the Jews come together and show everybody how much I love God. And so I'm going to put all these riches into the box while all the priests and the scribes will look on. And I'm making sure they know that I love God. When the truth is, their heart was very far from Him. By the way, today you can give $1 million to the offering, but if you don't give Jesus your heart, you're going to bust hell wide open. I hope you hear me today. This is really not about money. Yes, money's important. Yes, buildings are tools we can use. But friends, listen to me. It's not about money. It's first about our heart. And it says there's rich folks coming. They're putting large sums in. Verse 42, "And a poor widow came. And she put in two small copper coins, which make a penny." Right? Just a penny. "And he called his disciples over." By the way, this is the last time Jesus would be in public before the cross. Before the trials and, you know, there with Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and headed to the cross. This is the last time. "And he brings the disciples over to his side, and he said," let me tell you something, boys. He said, "You see that poor widow right there? All these affluent people, all these rich folks came up and they put large sums in, but they gave out of their abundance. They tipped God. It's just for outward show. They're just trying to like impress the religious leaders and make them think, you know, hey, I really follow Yahweh." Well, wasn't the case. He says, but this poor widow right here, she gave out of her poverty. She gave out of her poverty. And she gave everything, all she had to live on, all in, all in. God's calling us today. That's the call of the gospel, is to go all in submission to Christ, all in for Him, all in out of love and gratitude for the cross and His resurrection and all that He's done for us. Oh, Jesus, today, help us to go all in. You said if we want to be your disciple, we must take up our cross daily and follow after you. That is the supreme picture of sacrifice. You call us not just to nominal faith, but to sacrificial faith. In fact, sacrificial faith is saving faith. So, Lord, today, give us the courage and the boldness, the humility to go all in, the gratitude, the love to go all in. And Father God, fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. Destroy the strongholds that keep us in defeat and in fear and anxiety in these places. Lord, destroy those things by the power of your Holy Spirit. And teach us today to rest in you and in your provision. And Jesus, it's in your name we pray all these things. Amen. The story of the widow and her mite is a remarkable story of faith, isn't it? It's a story about sacrificial giving, obviously, because she gave all that she had. But it's a bigger story than that. This is a story of grief and of sorrow, isn't it? It's a widow. It doesn't say how long ago her husband died, but when your spouse dies, that certainly reverberates for the remainder of your life, doesn't it? So this is a story about grief. It's a story about sorrow. It's a story about loneliness, hopelessness at times. In New Testament days, it was the man who was the leading breadwinner of the home. And so no wonder she doesn't have anything now. I mean, it's not like there's government assistance, right, coming her way. So this is a story of poverty. It's also a story of injustice. Right before this, Jesus has charged the scribes and the Pharisees with devouring widows' houses. It's actually what he said about them. If you look back historically at the Jewish temple and the leaders there, at times like this, one of the problems God had with them was they would take advantage of people that were in difficult circumstances. A widow being a great example of that. So now her husband dies. She has this property, this estate. She's not getting any living. They come in under the auspices of, we want to help you. And they take her property for the temple. That happened often. The Bible doesn't necessarily tell us here that that happened, but you just wonder, don't you? If he just said that, now she comes to give the offering. If she's one that's just been evicted out of her house by the church. By the way, this is not just a passage about how we should give. Come on, church. This is also a passage about who we ought to be giving to. Come on, somebody. So don't miss the picture. This is also a picture of who we ought to be helping. The church shouldn't be, building extravagant buildings on the back of the poor. Hello. We ought to be helping the poor. That's part of our, so we see part of our mission here, too, to give hope in this culture. And so injustice. With all of those circumstances in mind, poverty, hypocrisy, these folks coming up who have a whole lot and they're just kind of tipping God and putting on the show. Here she has nothing, yet she's giving it all. And the religious leaders look down upon her for her minuscule gift, and God says, oh no. Jesus said, oh no, she gave everything. So what a picture, remarkable picture of faith. All in. That penny today, that penny that you got when you came in, hold that thing up again. Listen, this is our visual illustration today. You got to dig back in your pocket. I love it. I love seeing you have to dig back in that pocket. The penny. Yeah, the penny. Now you can put your hands down now. The penny. She put in all she had to live on. The word live in the original language is the word bios. It's where we get the word biology. In other words, Jesus is saying, you ready? She put her life in the box. She put her life in the offering box. Why? God had commanded her to do it, but also out of gratitude and complete and total trust in Him as her provider and her Savior. She put her life in the box. So today and from this point forward, my prayer is that every time we see a penny, every time that you see that penny, you would think about your life going in the box. That we would think about, hey, the call of the gospel is to go all in. So when you see that penny, think about what? Your relationships, your ambitions, goals of life, priorities, decisions, your money, your time, your possessions, all of that. And I pray that would serve as a reminder for us that the call of the gospel is, hey, all in. It's all His. The question today is, are we going to go all in for Jesus? And in the story of the widow and her mite, we see three incredible lessons that we need to take to heart if we're going to go all in. Three incredible lessons concerning remarkable, real faith. Lesson number one, real faith we see in the life of the widow. Real faith costs me something, doesn't it? Real faith is costly. Real faith is not cheap grace. It's not talk. It's not just talk without walk. It's not just words without action. And a part of our action in the faith is our giving financially, how we give, how we invest. And we see in this passage, ultimately, this is an important statement, so listen closely. Ultimately, our love for God is not measured as much by what we give as it is by what we keep. Let me say that again. Our love for God is not as much measured by what we give. The rich gave more than she did. But they gave what? Out of their abundance. It was no sacrificial gift. It was no true expression of real love and gratitude. It was just tipping God, just religious ceremonialism. God measures our commitment to Him not so much by what we give, but by what we, here it is, what we hold back for ourselves. in life. And the rich here, it says they gave out of their abundance. The word money and the word in the first verse there, verse 41 of the passage, it says that there were many coming and putting money in the box. The word money there speaks of that which is copper and bronze. It carries the idea of little value. So in other words, the rich folks, come on now, they were bringing the copper and the bronze, but they were keeping the gold and the silver. That's the idea here. They were keeping the good stuff to themselves. It reminds me of the book of Haggai in the Old Testament, great prophet of old. God spoke to him and called him to minister in days when the people of Israel personally were living in great luxury, but the temple was destroyed and in shambles. And so, man, God rebukes them there, and he calls them out to invest in the temple. He says, how are you going to live in paneled houses? So like in our context, how are you going to be on MTV Cribs, man, and not help build the temple? I mean, like, how are you going to have all this swag and have this luxurious living and you're not going to give to the church? By the way, are we living in a day where the church universal is in shambles, especially in our country? Come on, somebody. Yes. Man, just the struggles of the pandemic and political division, racial division, lawlessness and cancel culture, all this stuff. It's pushing the church to a place of fear, and if we're not careful, a place of insignificance in this society. And it's not so much about saving a society. It's about individuals. It's about that neighbor. It's about that coworker. It's about that family member or friend that doesn't know Christ. And so why would we make 3-year financial commitments? Why invest? Why build buildings and launch new campuses and do more ministry that takes more money and more emphasis? Well, it's because our society needs the hope of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? Man, it needs hope. And so that's why we would do this. And so man, the widow, she went all in. When you have real faith in Christ, it costs you something. Think of it this way from a positive angle. That which we love, we invest in. How many guys love to play golf in the room? Come on, there's a few of you. You like to play golf? There's one, two. All right. Well, if you love golf, you buy golf clubs. How many of you love to hunt? Come on now. Come on, guys in the room. Love to hunt. Yes. Fish. Love to fish. Right? All that stuff. It's going to get real up in here now. Hey, how much money do we give to that stuff? And I'm guilty of it sometimes too. I do the same thing. Man, I love to fish. And so what do? Man, I got to have that. We see something, we say we got to have it, right? So we got to go get this stuff in order to do what we love. You think about your kids and your grandkids. For those of you who's got grandkids in the room, whatever they want, they get. Isn't that right? Yeah, to a point. Every grandparent in the room said, yes, praise God, amen, right here, right? The grandkids going to get whatever they want up in here. Whatever clothes or shoes, if they want it, and I got the income, I'm going to go do it. In our house, we like to play sports. And so whether it's a new glove or new volleyball, you know, stuff or new football equipment or whatever, if they need it, we're going to try to figure it out. Whatever it takes to get them what they need to do what they love. I still remember when my wife and I were dating. Y'all remember those days? Come on, men in the room. I'm going to help you earn some points today. You remember when you were dating back in those days? Weren't those fun days? I mean, they were exciting times. My father-in-law taught my wife very well. He told my wife, he said, listen, all those kids going to Taco Bell and McDonald's, all that stuff, if that boy likes you, he'll take you to Outback. Come on now. My wife's an Outback girl, okay? And so you know, I asked her out. She said, yeah, that's great. And here we're going to go, out. All right, where are we going? Well, we're going to Outback. That's where we're going. Hey, they're going to Taco Bell. Well, they can go wherever they want to. If you want to be with me, we're going to go to Outback, right? Red Lobster, Olive Garden. It meant she's my donut. She's hot and holy, so I'm in. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in. I'm like, okay, whatever it takes. And so we like to cut up in our house. Hey, guys in the room, it gets real when I say, now you realize I could have had a bass boat with all them dinners I bought? Don't say that. I don't. Do that. That's a bad day, right? Mama's worth a lot more than that. And all kidding aside, why did I do that? Well, we invest in that relationship because we love, right? You love your wife, and so you invest there. You love your family, so you invest there. Hey, listen, here's a question. What is Jesus worth to you? What's he worth to us? We could talk about Jesus all day long, but what about giving? What about serving? What about a real commitment to Christ? What's he worth to us? That's how we express, that's one of the ways, among many others, but that's one of the ways we express our love, is by how we give financially. And so this widow, all she had left, right? Penny. That's all she had left. But she said, hey, I'm all in. Because I'm grateful for all that he's done for me. And I believe that he's going to give back. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. I'm grateful. And I know he's going to provide. Real faith costs me something. My sin cost Jesus his life. What's his life costing you? My sin cost Jesus his life. What's his life costing me? That's a good question. If it doesn't cost me something, if it's not costly, if it's not expensive, then it's not important. Secondly, let's keep moving. Real faith not only costs me something, real faith also looks to the everlasting. And to me, that might be the most significant part of this passage, at least for me this week in my study in my own life. Because here's the deal. Again, Jesus just said, you scribes, man, you devour widows' houses. Quite possibly, she's just been evicted from her house. We don't know for sure, but there were plenty of other widows who experienced this at the hands of the church, of all people. And so, man, she's quite possibly been evicted from her house. She doesn't know. You get the sense in this passage, the way Jesus speaks of her, that she doesn't know where her next meal is going to come from. She's alone. She may not have anywhere to lay her head tonight. And here she is walking up into the temple. Think about this. You've got in the court of the women in the temple, by the way, there were 13 boxes, treasury boxes, where they would come and they would give their offerings. It's Passover week. So everybody's in town and everybody got to put on a show for the preacher. So everybody going to come up and everybody going to give. And here this widow comes and all these people are giving all this money, all these hypocrites, by the way. You ever said, man, I don't go to church because all them hypocrites. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, there's hypocrites at your work, but you don't quit working. You know what I'm saying? And of course there's hypocrites there because we're people. We're all broken. We need Jesus. But here she comes in front of all these folks who are just putting on a show. And then on top of that, think about it this way. Now you've got all the, you know, the priests and the scribes, all these, you know, super self-righteous, arrogant dudes over there with their phylacteries on their head and all this garb on, and they just kicked her out of her house, possibly. Think about what it took for her to lay down her shame and her hurt and her just broken heart in that moment to walk up right in front of them and put her penny in the box. Takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? Takes a lot of humility, doesn't it? By the way, what a picture of Jesus on the cross. When he's letting sinners nail him to the cross and he could have called down 10,000 angels. What a picture of what Jesus did for us. And here she comes. And I could just, in my mind's eye, I mean, I just wonder, don't you, if she's weeping here. As she's saying, God, I don't understand why you'll take my husband and then bring folks that supposedly are doing it in your name to steal my home. But yet in the midst of those circumstances, she comes and she puts in her offering. Friend, listen to me. Don't ever look at God through the lens of your circumstances. Look at your circumstances through the lens of God's promises. When Jesus started his ministry, right after he was baptized, and God says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, the Father from heaven. Where does he go? Immediately to the wilderness. Jesus never sinned, yet he went through more difficulty than any human being that's ever lived. Why do bad things, hard things happen to good people? I don't know, but it is, listen to me, it is spiritual malpractice for us to judge God based on the actions of mankind. It breaks my heart to hear people say, and you hear it From time to time, you probably hear it in your workplace or your neighborhood, as you have, you know, conversations about church and things like that, which we should be having conversations about church and about Christ. And from time to time, you'll have people look at you and say, oh, man, listen, I tried that God stuff. Didn't work for me, man. I started going to church, and then, man, you know, my kid got sick, and, man, I lost my job and all this stuff. Or I went to the church, and, man, then somebody mistreated me there, and they offended me, man. Jesus said, how blessed is he who is not offended of me. Did you realize he said that? He's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is eternally faithful. His steadfast love endures forever. How dare we make a judgment of God based on the actions of people? He calls us in his love to come and to trust him. And today he's calling us to do the same. Listen, we've got to look past our circumstances and look to God and see his love there and see how awesome he really is. And not base our decisions of faith on the actions of people around us. Real faith looks to the everlasting. Listen, if you stop serving or stop giving based on the actions of people, your faith was misplaced in the first place. And a whole lot of people in the church in America have misplaced faith. They put their faith in a personality or like a group of people or some of the relationships in that body. And then all it takes is a failure to meet their expectation or to change the circumstances. Now, I'm out. Friend, listen to me. That's not faith at all. It's humanism. It's another form of atheism almost. So today, put your faith in Jesus. Trust in him. She came because she was grateful for God and what he had done for her. And Jesus, who's going to the cross for her, I mean, man, she's grateful for God here. And so, too, listen, you don't give for me. Today we give to God. Come on, somebody. Why would I give today? Because God's worth it. That's why we're giving in our home. We're not here because you pay our bills. Hello. Y'all with me today? We're here because God called us here. We're here because we're going to love on people, man. We want to draw you closer to Jesus. It's not people that prop us up. Jesus is our strength and our salvation. Come on, isn't that right, church? Jesus is your strength and your salvation. Why do it? Because God always honors giving that's done in his name. It's for him. Reminds me of the story of a Belgian lady, Sabine Moreau. True story. Senior adult who she had a friend coming in to visit, and so she was going to go pick her up at a train station about 40 miles away from her house. Well, she had just gotten a new GPS, and so she put that GPS in her car, and she had heard about how these GPS things, man, they are awesome, man. You can trust these things, and they'll lead you right to the place. Well, she plugged in those coordinates, and she hit go on that GPS, and she started following the directions, and you know, 1 hour turned into 2 hours, turned into 3 hours, turned into 4 hours of driving. Now she's out of gas, pulls over, has to fill up with gas. True story. And she's thinking to herself, well, they said these GPS things work, man. And so, I guess I've just gotten off the path somewhere. I need to just keep going. So literally she kept rolling. And finally when she crossed the border into Croatia, true story, 900 miles away, she finally stopped and said, maybe this GPS thing is not working correctly. She had placed her faith in the wrong thing, hadn't she? And that's really an indictment on our sad, sinful culture, isn't it? How we place our faith in so many wrong things. So many wrong things. She set her mind on heaven. She gave to God. And so, too, that's real faith. God calls us to do the same thing. Don't place your faith in individuals, in people, or in society, or things on this earth. Trust in God. Lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy. Thieves can't break in and steal it. Lay up treasure in heaven and see God's blessing, a harvest of righteousness come. That's the call today. Man, what a picture of that widow giving in those circumstances. Real faith costs me something. Secondly, real faith looks to the everlasting, looks to God, not to people. But then thirdly and lastly, real faith believes in God's blessing. As I was studying this week, I just kind of said to myself, I said, how could she give all that she had to live on? I mean, she doesn't even know where her next meal is going to come from. You ever thought about that? You ever asked that with this passage? How could she give it all and not even know what's next? How could she do that? The simple answer is remarkable faith, isn't it? But then God spoke to me on that, and this is what he said. Listen to me. How could she give all that she had to live on? Because that wasn't all she had to live on. That poor widow had a supply that most people know not of. She had a provider and a savior that she trusted completely, and she knew, listen, today I'm going to eat. Come on, somebody. Today I'm going to eat. He is the lover of my soul. He has come to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to preach the gospel to the poor. I mean, that's what he said when he started his ministry. There's a little bit of spiritual defiance in her step as she's going up here and putting that money in the treasury. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm gonna show these Pharisees. You gonna take my house? That's all right. God gonna give me a new one. Come on now. She's putting her offering in the box. She's believing in God's blessing. How could she give all she had to live on? Because that wasn't all she had to live on. She was drawing from heaven's supply. By the way, it's endless. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? So many promises in God's Word. Let me share some of them with you. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. So many promises concerning giving. Luke 6, 38. Give, it's going to be given back to you. And by the way, don't put question marks where God has put periods. Hello. Don't put question marks where God puts periods. That's what the devil does, isn't it? The devil wants you to question God's promises. Trust him. He says, man, give. It's going to be given back to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together. Running over. Anybody else want that blessing today? Come on now. Some running over blessing. That's what I want in my life. And God, to those who live open-handed, now God can fill it. If my hand's closed holding on to my stuff, nothing can go in it. So when I live open-handed, God will keep filling to meet my needs, but also so I can keep giving to help others, to help the poor and to extend the gospel around the world and to bless people. And so, man, give, it'll be given to you. And the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. By the way, how dare we say, man, I'm not getting anything out of faith when you ain't putting nothing into it. So many people say, I'm not getting anything out of faith. Well, you ain't giving nothing either. Of course, you're not going to get nothing out of it. There's a principle here. We're not manipulating God. He says, but listen, this is the deal. What you sow into, you're going to reap from. And so Malachi 3:10, another great place. And I can just sense that she's believing this, right? Malachi 3, because this is Old Testament now. She's in gospel days. And so this is 400 or 500 years before this. And so she's receiving it. Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there'll be food in my house. So you're meeting a need when you give. Thereby put me to the test. This is the one place in God's Word where God says, hey, test me. Come on, test me. Come on and give and see if I don't bless you back. And by the way, it says here, he says, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down a blessing until it overflows, till there's no more need. Open up the windows of heaven and bless. He promises to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, once again, that sowing and reaping principle. It says here, here's the deal. Whoever sows sparingly, you're just going to get a little bit back. You're not going to get a whole lot out of faith. There's not going to be a harvest of righteousness in your life if you're barely, you know, giving into it and praying and seeking, you know, just seeking me half-heartedly. So those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It's a promise from God's Word. It goes on to say in verse 10, same passage there, it says God will increase the harvest of your righteousness. And that's what we're after, isn't it, church? Change lives. Folks getting saved, building God's kingdom, man. Seeing revival in our city. And yes, God's going to meet my need as well. Listen, I love name it and claim it. You can't name and claim whatever you want. But what God names, you can claim. Come on, somebody. What He names, you can claim. And it's not about material things. It's about the glory of God. Are we going to go all in? All in. Yesterday, we were coming home from Nashville. My fifth grader, he had a doubleheader in town in Nashville yesterday. And on our way back, right at the 2465 split, so when you get northwest, just northwest of downtown Nashville there, 65 goes on towards Louisville, 24 comes around where it splits there, there's a billboard. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Are you tracking with who this is? Freedom From Religion Foundation, group of atheists. Their stated mission is to promote nothingness. To promote atheism in our society. Literally promote nothing. That's their mission. And think about this. In a pandemic, okay, suicidal ideation has grown exponentially. Drug and alcohol abuse has grown exponentially. Juvenile crime is at an all-time high. Violent crime, adult crime is at an all-time high. Spousal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, all of that has grown exponentially during COVID. So the blooming atheists got together and said, man, it's the perfect time to sponsor a billboard. And you know what that billboard says? Live it up now. There is no afterlife. Literally, sponsored a billboard just to say, hey, there is no afterlife. Hey, during COVID, let us just encourage you. You have no purpose whatsoever for life. Hey, listen, we're talking about cancel culture. I want to get in on that. Who else wants to cancel atheism today? Come on, somebody. Come on. Listen, you can give God praise. I'm not talking about atheists. Man, God loves everybody. He's inviting everybody to be saved. I'm talking about atheism. I'm talking about stepping in and saying, no, let me tell you something. There is an afterlife. You're going to go to heaven or hell. And here's the deal. Jesus took hell for us. That's the good news, man. You could be in heaven with God. And so, man, you know, get off all that junk, right? And trust in God, the one who made you. By the way, it says, the fool says in his heart, there's no God. So it's foolishness. This is foolishness. Y'all putting foolishness on a billboard. Right? And so I want to cancel atheism. I want to cancel pornography. Who else is with me today? I want to get rid of some pornography. Sexual exploitation. Sex trafficking. So guys, especially in the room, if you're watching that junk, you are essentially supporting sex trafficking around the world. And what a convicting thing for all of us, visual creatures, man. Listen, don't be in that. It's destroying marriages, destroying lives, destroying women by the thousands. I want to cancel that out. I want to cancel out racial division. I want to cancel out political division. I want to cancel out lawlessness and violence. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, listen, there in the gospel, in Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. We're all one up in here in Jesus' name. And so the gospel is the great unifier. The gospel is what gives us hope. Jesus is the one who gives us peace and joy. And he brings us together in one big loving family. Listen, church, it's time to cancel out the devil. That's what this is about. Yeah, we're going to build some buildings, but it's more about going out here, man, and canceling. Let's cancel the devil out, man, not people, the devil. Our battle's not with flesh and blood. Let's not get angry at the culture. Let's get angry at the devil, man, and let's pray hard. Man, let's share the gospel. Let's love on people. Man, let's help the poor and the hungry in our city. Man, let's bless folks in Jesus' name, and let's invite them to know the hope there is in Christ. That's what this is about. So, hey, are you going to join me? You're going to join us? Let's rebel. Let's just be rebels, man, in this culture. I don't mean that politically or whatever. I don't read anything into that. Let's just fight back against the devil, man. And let's choose in these days, listen, to be agents of hope. All in. That little widow put her life in the box. Today, does Jesus have your all?